morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you here today as we gather for worship on this warm Sunday morning. The other day I came into the church and I stepped inside and said, oh, it feels cool in here. And I looked at the temperature and the thermostat in the sanctuary, it was 87, but it felt cooler than it was outside. So, but we are, you know, not that warm in here. We have the air conditioning. It's good to be able to gather in here and worship together. Want to extend a special welcome to anyone that's visiting here, and want to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in the kitchen right beside the parlor. We encourage you to stay not only to eat and greet each other, but we have a little work for the church family members to do today. There are cards for our American Baptist missionaries available on the rolling counter. I believe that's where they are. And you are invited to sign the cards. There are, I don't know how many there are, but there are numerous cards there. There are about 15 maybe, I'm guessing? About 15 cards. 12, all right. Seemed like a lot. So a dozen cards, and you are invited to sign those, and those will be going out to our missionaries so that they know that, you know, we're thinking and praying for them. And just inviting you to do that during coffee hour today. Beautiful flowers here on the pedestal are given by the Berry and Cooper family in loving memory of Lucille Berry, who passed away 1 year ago. I believe yesterday was the anniversary. And after the service, you are invited to take a flower with you as you remember Lucille. Also, on the back page of the bulletin is the calendar for this week. And in addition to Bible study, you will note that the Judson women are having a meeting here on Wednesday beginning at 6, and that is a salad supper potluck, Marilyn? Okay, women are invited to bring a salad, a favorite salad to share. And program is missionary, Marilyn Ratz, who is endorsed by American Baptist Missionaries Ministries missionary to Africa. And she'll be speaking about her work so far and what she's hoping to do on the mission field. So that is this coming Wednesday. And all of our women, and if there's some men that are interested in hearing Maryland, you're invited to come as well. And then next Sunday, we as a church family are having a potluck here at the church after the service. It'll either be inside in Judson Chapel or out on the front porch, depending on weather. But you're invited to bring sandwiches, salads, or desserts to share. And that will be so there's no cooking involved. You don't have to heat up the oven or even the stovetop. And so that is next Sunday after church. So you're invited to bring something to share next Sunday and stay after the service. We are continuing to receive donations for Housing Families Backpack Drive. And next Sunday is the deadline for that. So a lot of things coming up in the end of July. So there is a box outside. There's also a container outside that has all the backpacks the deacons have purchased in it. So if you'd like to buy some, I looked at some of the ads this morning and saw, well, the school sales have started. So that it's back to school already. So if you would like to pick up something this week and bring it, you are invited to do that. At this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 676. For our responsive call to worship. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay. I've got air conditioners going, and I'm not sure whether you can hear me. Because if you can't, make sure you tell me so that I either speak up or turn up the microphone. We'll be reading from a variety of verses in Scripture this morning, focusing on Christian unity. And let us read responsively from God's holy word. I appeal to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you.
And that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought.
Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love.
Make every effort to be in unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace.
There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope.
One Lord.
One faith.
One baptism.
One God and Father of all,
who is over all and through all and in all.
Jesus said, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, so that they may be one as we are one.
May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me.
I am the vine. You are the branches.
If the man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit.
Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you,
ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you.
Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you.
Greater
love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. Our opening hymn is In Christ There Is No East or West, number 678. And those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Pray together. O God of north, south, east, and west, God of community, how good it is when your children live together in unity. Knit us together as your people gathered in this place. As we come together in worship, may the words we say bear witness to your good news for all people. Enliven our worship with an abundance of your Spirit. We ask all of this in Jesus' name, and now pray as he taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May be seated. I neglected to give a special welcome to Irene Hoffman today, who's providing special music. So I'm sorry, Irene, but she will be coming and providing a solo at this time.
time of prayer together. Some are requests for prayer, celebration. Peggy shared with me this morning that her granddaughter Michelle is out of the hospital and doing better, obviously, so we celebrate that. Peggy has also requested prayers for a niece who was a victim of domestic violence and has undergone surgery and is hospitalized right now, recuperating from her injuries and surgery. We'll be undergoing some more surgery. So I want to keep her in prayer today. And you want to keep Delphine, and Delphine's here, and it's a little less bruised today, but you want to keep Delphine as she continues to recuperate from your fall. Prayer. And Jim's next week, not this week, but next week, Jim's having surgery, so I want to keep Jim in prayer. He gets ready to do that. And Chuck and Cindy are preparing to leave us again for Hawaii. But I told Cindy this morning that it's about as hot as there as it is here, so we're just getting them ready. shock to their system. But we do pray for you as you go and stay with Chuck's mom and time of being with her, but also caring for her as well. Enjoy the paradise as well. Barbara, an update on David?
David has had his fourth chemo. He's doing well. He doesn't seem to be suffering really severe side effects. He makes him tired, but I protest that. He's actually feeling better, which is very encouraging. And he's also taking some cold medication. So you're really, going at it.
I want to continue to keep Mae Upperman in prayer as she continues to struggle with her swallowing difficulties. And Naomi's here today, and you're leaving this afternoon, Naomi. And Naomi's going to ride with this afternoon for a week camp, so we want to pray. Yes, she's got her sweatshirt shirt on. So we want to keep Naomi in prayer and other campers that are going to camp this week that have been or will be going other nights. Also, we've been praying for Joe McCary's cousin, Gerald O'Brien. He did pass away this week, or in the last week. He was struggling with stage 4 liver cancer. And so we just want to keep the Brian family in prayer. Also, we do want to keep Lana and Dorothy and their family in prayer as they're remembering Lucille on the first anniversary of her passing. And obviously, we want to keep our nation and our world, in fact, in prayer as the victims of violent outbursts that take place around our world. And also, we want to keep our nation in prayer as we go through the electoral process. Republicans had their time last week. Democrats had their turn this week. And then it's then we got to know November 2 to hear that. So we want to pray for our nation as well. It's an important time of choosing our next president. Do you have any requests for prayer? Any celebrations or concerns? Hey.
A friend of mine needs a liver transplant.
Okay. Friend of Peggy's needs a liver transplant, so we'll keep that person in prayer. Mark, is that
your name? No, my youngest sister Nancy. Alzheimer's is very rapidly changing.
Okay, so your sister Nancy, Alzheimer's is down in Virginia. I'm sorry to hear that. So Mark's younger sister Nancy is developing Alzheimer's, and it's coming right back. So her and family in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request?
Richard. Pray for Michael. He's going to camp next Sunday.
Yes,
she had a biopsy last week, and she's still cancer-free.
Wonderful, wonderful. We've been praying for Heather for like a year and a half, is that a follow-up to that?
Yeah,
okay, follow-up. So
on July 3rd, Heather was in worship up in Ocean Park, and I got to hug her.
Wonderful.
Yes, fabulous.
So she's able to attend worship.
Get that close,
She's going to be in Ocean Park over the 4th of July weekend, but the biopsy shows no cancer still, so that's wonderful.
Hello.
is well enough now to return to work, so that is a celebration. Watch his strength on the road. But that's good news that he has progressed to that. Okay, anybody else have a prayer request? Yes, Naomi.
I forgot to mention this before, but my boyfriend's mom has been in Mexico for a long time now, trying to deal with immigration papers, and we found out she's coming back in a couple months, and we thought she would come back by the way.
So Naomi's boyfriend's mother has been in Mexico, which is from Mexico, I take it. She's from Mexico, has been in Mexico dealing with immigration, trying to come back to the United States. Thought it should be back in a month, looks like it may be 2 months. So add that, and we have all different opinions on immigration, and I understand that. But, when it becomes personal, and we have folks in our church family that are dealing with immigration issues right now, too. And so we just, want to lift up those folks and just pray for, God to be with them during this time, and with our government as well, and, I don't have the right answers. I don't know what's best, what's wrong, what's not best. But just pray for God's wisdom through the whole immigration process. And pray for your boyfriend and his family, as his mom's not here right now. So we want to lift that family up in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request? No, then let's go to God. Let's see if something that's mentioned here or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together.
Especially today of Lucille Berry, and we're thankful for the flowers that commemorate her
her memory and thank you for that. Where we just, you know, lift up others that, you know, have, are being remembered today because of their love for different folks. Lord, we also pray for those who are going to camp. We pray especially for Naomi today, but others who are going to camp. We pray especially for those at Grottenwood and Oceanwood, those who have been at camp. We pray that it's been a good time, a time of learning who you are or reacquainting themselves or meeting you in new and different ways. We thank you for the staff at our camps that have, you know, worked for the summer there and meet new campers every week. Because we thank you, Lord, for the ministry that our camps provide. We also, Lord, you know, pray for those who will be attending camp later this summer, in the coming weeks, that they too may have this opportunity of being outdoors, enjoying creation, but also focusing on you. Lord, we are so grateful for all the ways that you touch our lives. This time, we thank you for the blessings in our lives, and we ask all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have an opportunity now to continue in our worship service as we present our tithes and our gifts to God as saying thank you for all of the blessings. But this time, the ushers receive the morning offering.
Oh, your face.
together. Lord, we do come as your vessels, and we pray that you would shape us and mold us and use these gifts to share your love with others. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I invite you to greet those who are standing near you this morning. Some cool thoughts, another Christmas tune. But different words. Pray on the insert. Seated. Hopefully that, you know, tune-wise you thought a little cooler thoughts maybe, but to more important words. Reverend Doreen Freeman is our reader today and will be coming to share the scripture.
I expect it's a very well-known scripture this morning from Matthew chapter 5, and I will be reading verses 1 through 12, and we know those as the Beatitudes. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word and to our understanding of it.
Thank you, Doreen. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard your words from Scripture this morning, words from Jesus, words that are familiar to many of us. In fact, some may be able to recite them from memory. And yet, Lord, we want to take a fresh look at them today. Lord, we pray that in these moments together that your Spirit will be working in and among us, that we may have a fresher understanding of your word and what it means to be part of your people. And Lord, we pray that having been together today, that when we leave here, we will have been strengthened and prepared for another week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I begin my message this morning, I have a confession to make. If you keep track of my sermons or remember my words and think that today's message sounds familiar, you are correct. In light of recent violent events, peace rallies and prayer vigils, and the themes and angry rhetoric that have been and will be batted about in this year's presidential electoral process, I felt led to update and share a message that I preached just 2 years ago. It doesn't take much observation to note that we live in a very diverse community. And I think that would be whatever community that you may live in. But this church is located in the city of Malden, and I want to focus on that for a few moments today. But whether we see differences in clothing styles or facial features, hear a multitude of languages spoken, or smell pleasing yet unfamiliar aromas wafting from neighborhood kitchens, we in Malden live in a melting pot. A 2015 report compiled by the Cambridge Health Alliance in cooperation with numerous organizations in the city describes Malden this way. Malden is a unique city with a rapidly changing identity, a melting pot of longtime residents and new immigrants. It has a lively and diverse population, and the National Center for Education Statistics named Malden Public Schools the most diverse student body in the Commonwealth in 2013. Malden is a growing gateway community, and its people are becoming increasingly diverse in background, ethnicity, race, and language spoken at home. It is home to many newly arrived and working class residents. Over half, 52%, of the Malden population speaks a language other than English at home. This proportion is significantly higher than that of the county or the state as a whole. Those are enough for statistics today. But while we pay attention to the differences in culture, languages, and race, God tends to evaluate us based on characteristics that are more than skin deep. Indeed, in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus reveals that God defines the world much differently than we do, and in fact is remaking the world in such a way that defines God's people by their character and their conduct more than by their heritage and the language that they speak. In the Sermon on the Mount, from which we heard this morning a portion, Jesus redefines what it means to be a citizen of God's new world, a world Jesus called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. These terms are often used interchangeably in the Gospels. But who are the people of God's world? Whether we all may look different on the surface and speak different languages, Jesus reveals at the very beginning of his discourse that there are certain traits that will be common to all of those who are becoming part of God's new world. If we look closely at the Beatitudes, we notice that they build on one another. The 20th century missionary E. Stanley Jones observed that the 9 Beatitudes can be divided into 3 sets of 3, with each set of their Beatitudes following the same pattern: thesis, antithesis, and then synthesis. And if you know my background, I am trained as a mathematician as well, and I do like numbers and, you know, symbolism and all these order and these kinds of things. So to find, you know, organization of the Beatitudes finds it helpful for me. So hopefully that you won't fall asleep this morning. So the first set of 3, the first triad, begins with the thesis, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What does it mean to be poor in spirit? You know what it means to be poor in some other things. But what does it mean to be poor in spirit? This question has been debated for generations. It's important to remember that Matthew's gospel was written to a Jewish audience of converted Christians, and it's aimed at telling us that Jesus is the Messiah, the son of David and the son of Abraham, and that he's the one who fulfills the law by embodying it. Therefore, we should look within the context of Jesus' own life and character to discover what it means to be poor in spirit. In chapter 3, Matthew tells us about Jesus' baptism, where the voice of God says, "This is my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased." The message echoes back to the prophet Isaiah, when God is speaking to the figure called the suffering servant. Right at the outset, Jesus, the leader of God's new world, is marked as a servant who came to give his life for the world. Jesus then immediately obeys the Spirit in chapter 4 of Matthew and goes out into the wilderness, where he engages in radical self-denial. To be poor in spirit combines these three traits of Jesus: servanthood, obedience, and self-denial. The one who is poor in spirit recognizes that he or she has nothing to offer God on his or her own behalf, that his or her own life has no purpose apart from God. Those who are poor in spirit obey God, not out of obligation, but out of desire to gain something better, the life of God's new world. The poor in spirit are those who voluntarily empty themselves so they can be filled by God. This leads to the second beatitude, which turns our attention from the inward to the outward. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Disciples who are poor in spirit, who have turned their attention away from themselves, now focus on the world and begin to see it as it currently is, a world in pain, a world where the selfish desire of sin dehumanizes people, a world full of violence, a world that has given up hope of redemption. Those who mourn are blessed because they are able to enter into the world's pain and grief and are not afraid of it. If we synthesize these two beatitudes together, we get the third. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. We often think of meekness as wimpiness or weakness. But here, meekness is a combination of the previous two elements: the power and decisiveness of self-denial in the poor of spirit, and the passion for the pain of the world for those who mourn. Those who both want nothing from the world and at the same time are willing to share everything with it are the meek. The spirit of self-denial and the spirit of service come together to make a new being, the person who is meek. That doesn't sound very wimpy to me. Rather, the meek are strong because they want nothing, and hence they can't be tempted or bought. And they are willing to go to any lengths, even unto death, on behalf of others. With the image of the meek still fresh in our minds, Jesus then turns to another set of three beatitudes that follow the same pattern. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Whereas the first three beatitudes gave us a pattern for emptying ourselves, these next three teach us with what we are to be filled. Another way of translating the Greek word for righteousness is justice. justice takes the meaning of righteousness out of the realm of the individual and into the realm of the whole world. The people of God, the people of God's world, aren't just those who do good. They do good for a purpose, to bring God's justice into the world. In other words, they are those who see their lives within the context of God's larger mission of redeeming the whole world. They do the will of God, but they see God's will as being bigger than themselves. These people of God, or God's world, are not concerned about their own eternal destiny as they are about the destiny of the whole creation. They're less focused on justifying themselves than participating in God's justice for those who need it most. But righteousness by itself can easily turn into a type of self-righteousness that we see displayed by the Pharisees in Jesus' day. That's why we need the balancing act of the second beatitude in this triad. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Those who have hungered and thirsted for God's justice must begin to show mercy to those who need that justice the most. When we put the passion for justice and the compassion of mercy together, we become the pure in heart, or the undivided heart, as some translations put it. Blessed are those whose life is geared toward a single purpose that is both righteously merciful and mercifully righteous. These are the ones who are blessed to see God because they see the movement of God and the purpose of God in every person. They see God everywhere because they are always looking for ways in which to live out God's purpose through obedience, mercy, service, and love. They see God the way Jesus said they would, in the face of the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the stranger, the least, the last, and the lost. Jesus moves on and says, "Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. And blessed are you when people insult you. Take the meek who want nothing from the world, and the pure in heart who want nothing but God. And when we put them together, we get peacemakers." The peacemakers are the ones who are resolute and active in their pursuit of reconciliation and justice between humans in conflict with each other. And whether that conflict is between families, races, or countries, the peacemakers, in other words, are those who stand in the gap and are willing to engage conflict with peace. They're willing to work for justice, and they're willing to stay in that gap for as long as it's necessary, despite the sabotage that will inevitably come for those who are unmotivated or unwilling to change. Jesus says that if we are a peacemaker, we are blessed. But Jesus also says that if we're a persecuted peacemaker, we're blessed again. The final beatitude is a variation of the previous one. We're blessed yet again if, after persecuting us because of our peacemaking, we are insulted and lied about. Doesn't sound very fun to me. But history tells us that anyone who acts as a peacemaker will usually become one of the persecuted. Jesus is the ultimate example of that truth. And as E. Stanley Jones once put it, peacemakers must get used to the sight of their own blood. If there's a synthesis for this final triad of Beatitudes, it's in Jesus' concluding remarks. If we're a peacemaker, if we're a persecuted peacemaker, and if we're lied about persecuted peacemaker, then basically we can start rejoicing. Not by the world standards, but by God's worldly standards. The synthesis of this is joy. The fruit of living a peacemaking, persecuted life, even a life that embodies all the qualities Jesus itemizes in this list, we call the Beatitudes, is joy. Persecuted peacemakers in particular, well, try saying that three times. Persecuted peacemakers in particular can rejoice because they're persecuted for doing something worth persecuting. They rejoice because they are walking directly in the footsteps of Jesus and the prophets. They rejoice because they're peacemaking, even if it costs them their own blood, is making change possible. The poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger for righteousness, the pure in heart, the merciful, the peacemakers, the persecuted peacemakers, these are the people of God's world. And Jesus calls them blessed. In the coming days and weeks, during these turbulent times, let us focus on living like people of God's new world. It may just transform us personally and alter the present world so that it will start to look beyond races and borders and toward a brand new way of life. Let's pray together. Lord, we are disturbed by the events that we have witnessed and heard about and read about in recent weeks in our world. Lord, we know that you have better plans for us. Lord, we thank you for these words of Jesus that have been compiled, we know as the Beatitudes, that give us a framework in which to live our lives. And Lord, we do pray that we may be peacemakers. But Lord, we know how dangerous that can be. But Lord, we know that you give us the courage and the power to do these things for you and for your world. Lord, we pray that we might be the beginning of a new way of living. And yes, in this very diverse community of Malden, Lord, help us to be a different way of living than the world lives right now. That we may demonstrate what it means to be part of your world. That we can be claiming that we are people of your world. Help us to live that in each day that we live. That others may see it. That they may recognize it. They may come to see that there are other ways and better ways of living than the way we are right now. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is We Are God's People, number 669.
Chosen of the Lord.
in peace and follow the Spirit's leading. Be the people of God's world who are poor in spirit, who mourn and are meek. Be those who hunger for righteousness, are pure in heart, and merciful. Be peacemakers, even persecuted peacemakers, and you will be filled with joy. Make a difference in the world and give God praise in all that you say and do every day. Amen.